You're listening to Justice, Inclusion, and Dignity in a Free Congo on WPFW Washington.
The Friends of the Congo was established in 2004 to work in partnership with the Congolese communities to bring about peaceful and lasting change in the Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly Zaire. Today, we will be talking to one of the organization's warriors for change, Bibi Ndala. Stay tuned. Good morning. My name is Denise Young, and I am sitting in today for Marsha Coleman Adebayo. It has been a while since I was with you guys the last time and was able to converse with the WPFW family, so it is always an honor to connect with such an incredible audience of fighters for justice. We have a great program this morning, as always. Today, WPFW presents Justice, Inclusion, and Dignity in a Free Congo, our second day of emancipatory, informational, and inspirational programming centering Congolese sovereignty and decolonization, during which we will explore all things Congo. Since this morning and continuing until midnight, we will present voices from the front lines in the Democratic Republic of Congo, creating a unique opportunity to hear from those involved in movement building and grassroots organizing across the DRC, in addition to poetry, speeches, and music. And I have to tell you, WPFW family, we are able to bring to you our community of fighters for justice, incredibly universally relevant and liberatory focused programming because of your unwavering support. And today we humbly ask for your support as part of this fund drive week. I, as not only as a programmer, but as a supporter of WPFW, I cannot iterate a million times how important it is for us to have community support. How important it is for us to have community support to continue to bring to you such important programming, such important, just the idea of continuing to build what I believe, and I'm sure so many of our listeners believe, is one of the most important cultural institutions here in the DMV. And so in order to continue to not only preserve the legacy of WPFW, but to continue its legacy so that generations to come can continue to get what it deserves in terms of, just a media representation that is honest, that is profound, that is truthful, that is liberation focused. And we need those kinds of things where we have a barrage of media support that, and quite honestly, is not liberation focused, does not pick up the voices of the people, does not represent the issues that everyday people, working class people are across the world are struggling with. And so today I ask you to join in the WPFW, whether you have been a supporter in the past, whether this is your first time hearing WPFW, that you consider in your heart and in your budget to pledge what you can. Every penny counts. And so if you can find it in your hearts today to pledge We really encourage you to do so. Again, we cannot be of service to our community the way that our community needs the support without your financial support. And so this morning, I am asking you to dig in your pockets, whatever you can, to pledge this morning with us. And your pledges can be made by calling 800-222-9739. You can also go online, wpfwfm.org, and also Cash App, $WPFWFM. So we are offering as many ways as possible to help you, to facilitate the process so it's as easy as possible for you as a donor. And again, we just continue to not only ask for your support, but also our programming is in gratitude of that support. Our programming absolutely shows our gratitude for you as listeners, as supporters, but also as community members who are fighting for justice, who are in the struggle, and who understand that the only way that we can defeat empire is to be able to band together in solidarity. So thank you. And with that, I am going to bring on our guest for today. Her name is Bibi Ndala, and again, she's with Friends of Congo in New York City and is the founder of Alaka. Welcome, Bibi.
Good morning. Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. For our fighters of justice and in our listening audience, please tell us about yourself and your work.
So yes, my name is Bibi, and then I am based in New York City, as you mentioned. I work as a research analyst, but I'm also the coordinator for Friends of the Congo, Congo Week, and I also support the organization for Congo and Harlem. I also do have a maternal health initiative that operates in Congo that provides prenatal care for expecting mothers. We do maternal health education, and then we support them through prenatal care all the way to birth with a three-day stay at the clinic. To summarize.
Well, great summary. So before we get into your specific work, I mean, one of the things that we know is that Congo is experiencing one of the most severe humanitarian and security crises in the world. And the violence is escalating, and particularly this year, with reports of more than 7,000 people killed since January 2025 and hundreds of thousands of people newly displaced. And so the impact across the country is far greater in number, with 21 million people impacted. And particularly from your perspective of someone who is here, why are we as the U.S. community not talking more about this genocide? You know, are other regions of the world paying attention to what is happening to the Congolese people?
I mean, the issues in Congo, they go far, far, far. You know, they go for a very long time. It's multi-layered. And it's a good question when we're talking about media, why we don't get the same coverage as other issues that are happening in the world. Because when we look at the conflict in Congo, the liberation fight in Congo, it concerns all of us. So yes. The expectation is to see the world express the outrage and join us in solidarity. But the reality of thing is that there is a lot of international organization, there is a lot of countries that have vested interests in the minerals in Congo, which is a huge driver of the conflicts that we are witnessing today. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that partially responds to why it's not as covered as much as other conflicts in the media. There is a lot of organizations of tech companies, organizations that in a way have allowed this conflict to continue for so long, that has enabled it, that have funded some of the militia and the the groups that are fighting in Eastern Congo, whether directly or indirectly. So there is a lot of interest to keep it happening quietly and not so present in the media. And mm-hmm. that's where our job starts, where we have to keep advocating, where we have to keep using our platform to remind the world that this has been happening, it's still happening, and that it is everybody's responsibility to take a stance and to speak about it, to question their government about their involvement in Congo, to question their government about how they spend their money, how they finance some of these groups, how they finance some of these governments, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to bring it to light and we have to speak about it.
Wow. The idea that and what you're suggesting and not only suggesting, but, you know, what is actually is true is that the lack of media coverage, the lack of, you know, having this be on the lips of, you know, Americans across the country is about the convenience, as you mentioned, but also about us in reality being complicit in this. And, you know, it's very easy for any group to be complicit when we are the beneficiaries. And I use that term specifically, meaning that we are getting something, meaning the nation, materially out of others' suffering. When you talk about using platforms or advocacy, what are some of the things that, again, from your perspective as someone who is here, what do you think, or what are some of your suggestions about the things that we should be doing or could be doing? What does advocacy look like? Because as a community organizer, and as an activist, one of the things that I know can be very troubling for people who, particularly people who want to help, is that oftentimes they can't name something specific to do, or they aren't told something specific to do. So on a very micro level, what are some suggestions that you have?
I think it's really important. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think we have to take in consideration the context within which we're living right now, right?
Yes.
If we look within the U.S., there's a lot happening in the U.S.
And oh, my goodness.
And on the political yes. stage, people are overwhelmed.
Yes.
People can't keep up with what's happening in here. So I think in this context, in the time that we're living in, it's important to meet people where they are.
Yes.
Right. So there's a lot of talks about the decisions that the governments are being made. There's already a lot of people that are already putting pressure on this administration. Right. So mm-hmm. this is an additional ask when the government is making all these peace deals, whether it is in Ukraine and Russia, whether mm-hmm. it is in Palestine and Israel,
yes.
or whether it is in Congo and Rwanda. These are transactions that are deals that are very transactional. Right. They don't have a justice component to it. They don't necessarily benefit the American people or the Congolese people, because most of these deals have been benefiting the administration and the people close to it. Mm-hmm. So that is something where anyone in the U.S. can go to their representative and apply pressure to them and tell that I am seeing in the news that the administration making deal with all these countries, and then money is being sent to all these countries to finance their government. And in return, they have been committing genocide in these places. Like, we need answers, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have 10,000, 20,000 people calling their representative, overwhelming them, and making the same demand, then they have to take action because the midterms are coming soon.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they have to be receptive to their constituents, right? So this is like a 30-minute meeting. It can be a letter that you write to them. But additionally, people can also use their platform on social media. Everybody has a social media account. Everybody has a TikTok or an Instagram account. You can repost a post about the Congo to help amplify it. You can create a TikTok video. We even have like toolkits now to make it easy for people to share it. Well, we created the Free Congo Toolkit, where you can usually use a template with the messaging, you know, customize it, yeah. make it your own, and just share it. But we have to be we also have to understand that we're living in times where people are overwhelmed, we're being bombarded with information. So the most important is, like, you know, you can, it's to meet people where they are and do something that's within their reach. I think a phone call to your representative is within everybody's reach. Reposting something on social media is within your reach. You know, like posting something. You don't have to put together a whole protest to be effective, right? So those are like little things that everyone can do that's within their reach.
You know, what I love about what you just offered, including, you know, the principle of really meeting people where they are, is that what you suggested, those things are so doable. And I appreciate that you recognize that, you know, the American people, and particularly, you know, those of us of African descent in this country, we are feeling, you know, we're feeling the pinch. We're feeling the pressure. We are feeling, you know, the residual of, you know, this, you know, what really is functioning as a dictatorship government or administration at this point. And so I think it's really important that people feel like there's something that they can do, because the moment we feel like we can't do anything, then we are in a space of feeling powerless to do anything. So I appreciate that you offered us some things that are very, very doable. One of the things that I think, you know, that I would also like to talk about is when we are thinking about, you know, even doing those things, is how do you suggest that, because this is the other thing, is that even when we find time, we make time to do those kinds of things, meeting, you know, our needs and where we are, sometimes it also feels like we are working in isolation. And, you know, what is something that you can suggest or offer so that people don't feel like, you know, I'm doing this, I've made time to do this, but I kind of feel like I'm out here by myself, or I don't see other people doing this or talking about this. Like, what, I think these are legitimate barriers to people really stepping out into community, being part of community to be able to bring about change. So what would you suggest?
I think the good thing right now is that there is a lot of organizing around the Congo, whether it's, you know, Friends of the Congo, but there are many other organizations also doing a working around the Congo that are always looking to add members to their rank, that are always looking for allies to amplify the voices. So sometimes it's as simple as finding an organization on Instagram and reaching out to them or sending them an email. And most of the time, you know, activists or people that are working on the for the Congolese cause, they're happy to speak with you 30 minutes to educate, to share resources with you, to share with you, to have you join their movement, to have you as an ally, to support them in solidarity. So it's also just reaching out, right? And then Congo Week is really the perfect time for that, because we have events a little bit everywhere. If you're in DC, we do have an in-person event where you can go and listen, but also connect with the organizers. Like, for example, this year we have like so many volunteers that have joined Friends of the Congo in the last few months that are actively participating on the organization of Congo Week. But these are people that have reached out, that have expressed interest, and now they have, you know, been able to access the resources, but also they have been able to support the organization of this whole week. And now they've passed from being spectators to active participant. So I'm thinking it's sometimes the hardest thing to do, reaching out, but there's a lot of option. There's like Future of Congo, there's so many organizations, and I am 99% sure that most of them are always happy to welcome new people on board, so that you feel like you're not doing it in silo and isolated all by yourself.
Okay, Bibi, thank you for that, and particularly your point about educating ourselves. And so I'm going to hold on that point, and I'm going to ask, introduce Katia, who will be helping with our fund drive.
Thank you. Good morning, Denise. It's such a pleasure to be with you. And Bibi, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for joining in on this very special day. The conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The conversation has been riveting, Denise, as always. You're such an excellent journalist. And thank you for filling in for Marcia today. We're asking the folks to support a free Congo today. 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. $600 is the goal for this hour. We are in good shape because we have $39 to do it, and we can do it together, folks. 800-222-9739, WPFW Washington. WPFW Washington, that's the top of the hour. WPFW, been talking too much. WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. $600 to go. Won't you give whatever it is in your wallet and in your heart and on your mind to give? We do this work, this liberatory educational work, bringing you Congo today, Palestine, October 7th. We're going to do Sudan and Haiti down the road. And then we're going to do Occupation Nation, which is all about the what we're seeing, the oppression of the people here, right here in Turtle Island. So all of that comes your way because of your dollars. Today, we are focused on Congo. However, we're standing in solidarity with Team Congo, Friends of the Congo, Congo Futures, Freedom Futures Collective, all of them doing this great, great work on behalf of the Congo. And of course, all the organizations in the Congo on the ground who are mobilizing and organizing. And of course, most importantly for us, the women and the girls of the Congo. That is what is close to my heart in particular. I'm a mother. I'm a sister. I'm an auntie. And, you know, I just, you know, my heart goes out. And so we have to stand in solidarity with the work that Bibi is doing, the work that Denise is doing this morning, and the work that What's at Stake does every week under the excellent leadership of executive producer Verna Avery Brown. $600 to go. Won't you get us started this morning? 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. I don't know what else to say. And Free Congo, when you make your pledge of support, put in the notes, Free Congo. That is what we're about today. It's Congo takeover. We heard music. We heard interviews already this morning. We're going to keep that energy going. And we've been doing beautifully because of you with the fundraising today. So we want to knock this out the park as well. $600 to go. Get those calls going. If you're on the app, and I know many of you are, you can just go down to the left corner. There's a heart there, and you can tap that and make a pledge of support right there to What's at Stake. $600, many hands do indeed make light work. Do they not, Denise?
They absolutely do. Absolutely do, Katia.
800-222-9739. Of course, 800-222-9739. And as my friend Sabia said, I came up with a bop. I don't think it's mine. It's not original. But we say from D.C. to Congo to Palestine, occupation is a crime. That's what we're about. And to Haiti, Sudan, again, we extend it to everywhere. Everywhere there is oppression. Everywhere there is settler colonialism. Everywhere there is extractive injustice. Everywhere there is rape as a weapon of war. We say no. We stand in solidarity with the people who are most vulnerable and experiencing this horror. And we also stand with those who are like Bibi, who are working to eradicate this horror and working for a free Congo. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $600 to go. Let's do it for Denise. Let's do it for Verna. Let's do it for Bibi. Let's do it for the Congo.
Thank you, Katia. And so WPFW fam, Fighters of Justice, you've just heard several organizations that you can go to and really be able to educate yourself. And so that's the point that we left off with Bibi. And so Bibi, when we talk about educating, which I think appreciate you bringing up that point, is so critically important to, it can be another barrier to people. I want to help. Okay, I figured out a way to help. Okay, I'm not doing this in silo because I've reached out to people who are like-minded. Okay, but if I'm being honest, I don't know as much as I should know, or maybe I don't know as much as I would like to know to really be effective in, using my time and my energy and resources for this cause. So when we talk about educating, Bibi, what are some of the important things, or what are some of the most important things, maybe the three most important things that you would like our audience to know about the Congolese, what is happening in Congo and against the Congolese people?
The first thing that I'm going to say, and this doesn't only apply to Congo, it just applies to everything in life in general. As informed citizen, it is our duty to all constantly be in search of the source of truth, because we live in a time where we are constantly bombarded with information, whether fake or real, call it alternative truth. So I think it is matter how big it is, that whatever you are sharing, are searching for source of truth, because it can help. It can really help you effectively advocate, right? Because there's a lot of people nowadays that share information because they want to create a buzz, they want to have momentum, they're looking to shock audience, and it's often not true. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing that I would say, just in general. But when it comes specifically to Congo, I want people to know that, the media, or sometimes people portray it as a conflict that's very complex, and they don't want to touch it because it's complex, it's been going on for so long, but that's not true. Getting educated and knowing about what's happening in Congo is within everybody's reach. We do have a toolkit now that can really help educate. We have the speakers tour, where you can reach out to Friends of the Congo, and we would have a representative come to your organization, come to your school, come to your class, and educate, share with your students, share with your constituents. Or we have teach-in sessions where people can just tune in online and hear about the Congo's education, hear about current news, daily news. So there's really a lot of options for anyone that wants to be educated. There's documentaries that are being played during Congo and Harlem. There are films that are being screened to help educate the masses. So there is a lot of options. Those are some of the things that I want people to know in terms of education. But, in order to add a little bit from history perspective, Congo has a long history with the U.S. That dates back from, from Lumumba, going back to Mobutu, to the two Kabila fathers. We have a long, long, long history that drains both countries. So there is a lot there to learn from and to educate. It hasn't been a history that's been very positive for the most part, but I do think that if we continue this fight, we can build a relationship and a history that can benefit both countries. And today is yesterday, Tuesday, was dedicated to Patrice Lumumba, so there's a lot of resources to learn about him and his fight of liberation for Congo, and how he has inspired a whole generation to continue to fight for the freedom of the Congo, which is essential for the liberation for everyone around the world. And but I'm not sure if you want me to share a little bit about the context of the recent war that's happening in Congo, or you want to keep that for later.
We absolutely can talk about that. I think we must talk about that. And at this point, what we're going to do is we're going to just break for a moment, and then we will come back on that point. And so you are listening to WPFW, and we will take a break for community announcements.
Peace! This is your social justice calendar for the week of October 20th, 2025. Wednesday, October 22nd, Pan-African Community Actions, Black Alliance for Peace Citywide Alliance. and the All African People's Revolutionary Party will collaborate on the next Asada Shakur Study Group sessions, Global Impacts of U.S. Militarism on Africa and Building Resistance in D.C., 7 to 9 p.m. at the Black Workers and Wellness Center on 2500 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C. More info and registration is on D.C. Teach-ins on AFRICOM2025.eventbrite.com. On Thursday, October 23rd, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Sankofa Videos and Books Cafe presents a Howard News children's book event with authors Wednesday Boateng and Rob Hall, located on 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. For more info, visit Sankofa.com. Saturday, October 25th, DMV Palestinian Youth Movement will host the public forum Cuba is Not Alone, End the U.S. Blockade at 3 p.m. located on 327 Park Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21201. For more info, visit DMVPYM or MD_Cuba on Instagram.com. Also on Saturday, October 25th, the D.C. Girls Coalition will host their third D.C. Youth Summit from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. located at UDC Old Congress Heights Campus, 3100 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast. For more information, contact jsantos@blackswanacademy.org. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar connects you to grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. This is due by Thursday at 5 p.m., at least 1 week in advance of your event. Donate to our Fall Pledge Drive by calling 800-222-9739 or by donating at WPFWFM.org. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar helps build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
And welcome back to WPFW, and I'm Denise Young, and I'm here with Bibby. And Bibby, we were just talking about, you know, sort of giving a bit of context. And so I absolutely want you to give a little bit of that context. But I also, and, you know, just in line with, first of all, the work that you specifically do, but also in terms of what Katia offered about, you know, really being focused on the women and girls in the Congo and what's happening to them. And so I really do want to be able to have you highlight that work and the importance of that population. So if you can start by really giving us a little bit more context.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the history and then I will continue with the work that I do. But I think this dates back, I don't want to go too far in history, It dates back to the 1994, the genocide in Rwanda that has spilled over into Congo and has, you know, ever since maintained some level of insecurity and conflict in the Congo with periods of increased violence. But the people living in those regions, they have not experienced peace since the mid-90s, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the late 90s, we had the first and second Congo War, followed by 18 years of dictatorship by Kabila the Son. And then for this specific period, it starts in 2018 in the elections where the stolen election that have seen Felix Tshisekedi take power. But because of the way that the election was done, it created a lot of questions about the legitimacy of his administration, which ultimately led to the reinsurgence of N23. And then IFC, which, you know, some individuals were suspecting that the Kabila, the previous president, was the one behind it, but he has not spoken out to acknowledge it. But it created this new conflict, this revived conflict, where the M23, who are backed by the Rwandan government, has taken up control of huge portions of territory in the eastern part of Congo. Mm-hmm. And in the process of that, there has been a lot of fighting that has resulted in the death of a lot of civilian women and children. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a report by CARE that came out earlier this year that was saying that, I'm going to read it, rebels and government troops have weaponized rape during the fighting, according to CARE International. The charity says that at least 67,000 women and girls were sexually assaulted in the first 4 months of the year, from January to April. 67,000 women and girls were assaulted. Oh. And that's in like an underestimate, right? So we see the headlines, we see the conflict, we see the fighting, but these are the consequences mm-hmm. on the lives of women and girls that are living in those regions. They're being sexually assaulted, they're being raped, they're being taken away from their families. You know, there's a lot of students and girls that are out of school, that are in refugee camp. And not to even mention during this period, there was also a transition in the U.S. government, and the new administration has ceased to provide any kind of humanitarian support to those refugee camps. So they're dealing with malnutrition. And then in the recent month, there is also an Ebola outbreak that's happening, that's also impacting those communities. So there's just, there's so much that could be said about the current situation. Mm-hmm. It's one that's really catastrophic. And I think it's probably the worst it has been in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So my work, like I always say, when we're talking about advocacy, most of us that are doing advocacy, it's not something that when I was growing up, I was like, oh, mom, I want to be an advocate when I grow up, right? Yeah. You say that you want to be a doctor, you want to be a nurse, you want to be a teacher. I wanted to do maternal health, but when I got to do maternal in Congo, I realized that I could not do the work the way that I wanted it to do because I couldn't do it the way that I wanted it to be because there was war, there was conflict. And when you're working with these communities with women, you cannot ignore their reality and just yes. say like, I'm just here to do this work. No, there's conflict. They don't have stable housing. They don't have means to provide for their children. They don't have the resources to have a proper pregnancy and to focus on their self and the life yes. that's growing in them. So then by default, you become an advocate. You become an advocate to end the war, to build stronger infrastructure, because ultimately, those are the things that every community need in order for its constituents to thrive, right? Mm-hmm. So in the earlier parts of like 2019, 2021, we established JALACA. We started working with the women. But in the last few months, this last few years, the situation has been such that it's nearly impossible to do the work. So we have been mainly focused on supporting the woman, whether it is, having them relocate to neighboring countries or just finding stable housing, because it's a bit strange to be like, oh, let's have a maternal educational workshop mm-hmm. when right. when there's, you know, there's all this other things happening. Right. So I would say the focus has really been trying to find peace, finding means to allow for these communities for these populations to go back to their community. Yes. So this has been the focus in the last few years. We have a little bit diverted from what we typically do.
I am still stuck on 67,000 women and girls and, being sexually abused. Alarming doesn't even begin to capture what it feels like to hear something like that. The point you made about, you know, this isn't work that I'm going to do this advocacy work. And it really is that we fall into, we see needs. We see what is happening in the world. We see what is happening in our community. We see what is happening to people, other oppression, that is happening. And we figure out from the most vulnerable place, the heart of our own humanity to insert ourselves into this work. And one of the things that I understand about this work is that, exhaustion, mental, spiritual, physical fatigue, occurs. And so what are some of the things that, and it's not just specific to the Congolese, people, and what's happening to them. But again, you mentioned that we're all being bombarded with so many things that are happening in this country and around the world. And what are some things that you offer in terms of how do we not allow ourselves to become exhausted, or what do we do to fight the exhaustion? Because it's important for us to do that so that we can keep going, because it's not ending. It's been incessant. And so we have to keep going.
I always tell the interns that I work with or the volunteers that I work with, I have to remind them that you can only be the best advocate when you're the best version of yourself. So if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel like you need a break, take a break. The work is going to be here. It's been happening for 30 years. Yeah. If you take a week or two a break to resource yourself, but you can't really be a great ally if you're going through it yourself, right? Yes. So it's important to sometimes, I sometimes get my own Congo fatigues because I'm not only supporting the women and the children, yes, in the affected region, but I also do have families there, right? So I have to support my family. I have to listen to what they're going through in the capital, but we also work up the grassroots organizations that we support. So it does get overwhelming. And to me, I like to stay centered on my why. Right, yes, like the why that drives me. But also, if I need to disconnect for a day because it's just too much, I do it. And I don't feel guilty. I don't feel like I'm letting anyone down, mm-hmm, because I understand that I have to be the best me in order to really support them the best way that I can be. And we have to find what is that you need to find what is your why, what is your niche, and what is it that you need to do to resource and to re-energize. It's important.
Absolutely important. And Bibi, you mentioned earlier Patrice Malimba, and I would like to say to our listeners, our WPFW Fighters for Justice, if I'm not mistaken, this year is the what would have been the 100th birthday of Patrice Malimba, of Malcolm X, of Frantz Fanon, and other liberationists, other fighters for justice, and some of those names are not coming to me, but I'm know for sure that it would have been the 100th birthday of these incredible warriors. And when we think about the work that they've done, here in the United States, in the Congo, or formerly Zaire, in Algeria, that we understand that the work continues, that we have to pick up the mantle, that we are obligated to pick up the mantle as part of, not just the human experience, but as part of the human family, but also because of the fact that we want to have our children's children's children experience something different. Oppression is, it is catastrophic. It is a denial of whole groups of people's humanity. It is a rejection of their right to exist wholly. And we have to be able to commit to doing something to stop, modern day colonialism, genocide, war, for material gain. We have to be revolutionary. And when we talk about being revolutionary, sometimes it's the smallest things, the smallest acts that are revolutionary, like being able to support cultural institutions like WPFW that are in the trenches
We are bringing the programming. We are bringing the voices. We are connecting and bonding with people who are fighting oppression, who understand that, you know, people who are struggling everywhere is a struggle that we all should be focused on, that there is no need for us to, you know, play oppression Olympics, that if we are going to defeat empire, that we have to come together in solidarity. And so this morning, I ask you again, as I asked at the top of the morning, and as Katia asked so eloquently and with such spirit, please, please, please dig in your pockets, from your heart, from your soul, from your spiritual base, your intellectual base, and give to WPFW so that we can continue to bring this kind of programming, bring this kind of education and information and awareness to our WPFW family. Yep. And again, you can pledge at 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. And again, Cash App, $WPFWFM. Again, that's 800-222-9739, online WPFWFM.org, and Cash App, $WPFWFM. We want to make it as easy as possible for you, as easy as possible for you. Please, please, please dig into your pockets as we are highlighting the Congo and presenting to you program that is focused on justice, inclusion, and dignity in a free Congo for a free Congo.
Thank you, Denise. Oh, I'm sorry, Denise. I just want to
go right ahead.
You such an eloquent speech. Not speech, pitch, excuse me. Too many things, too many trains running in the brain at the same time now. And your conversation with BB has been truly riveting and enlightening and educational. And that is what this day is about, right? Yes. So again, we want the listeners to get on board. We have to be in solidarity with you all to do this work. We still need someone to get us started. We're still in need of $600. We have 13 minutes to do it. Wherever you're listening, you might be listening in the app, across the water. You might be here, but in Texas, or in, when I say here, I mean in this country, in Texas, California, Canada, wherever you're, or North America, wherever you're listening right now, we need you to make that commitment to WPFW. You mentioned that, you know, not all acts of activism are grand. Sometimes it's the small and silent act of just simply ensuring that there is truly independent media that can cover the Congo so thoroughly in this way. That is what you make possible. 800-222-9739. We are not saying it's complex. We understand the issues and we're trying to demystify it for you today to ensure that you understand exactly what's happening in the Congo, how it happened, and what we can do to stop it, to eradicate it, so the Congolese people can actually be in control of their own resources and can be free and have liberation. So again, what's at stake? $600. We know there's someone last hour or a few hours ago, we did it. There's someone in the sound, within the sound of our voices, Denise and BB, that can give $1,000 and we will exceed the goal. But please make that call that makes the difference right now. Make that click that makes the difference right now. 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. We have 12 minutes before the top of the hour, and I want to give it back to Denise, so that she can continue with this riveting conversation. But we need you in the conversation. We need you to partner with us and be in solidarity with us, and need you to stand up for a free Congo. And one of the ways you do that is to ensure that there is a platform that can dedicate a day to the Congo like this to unpack all of what's happening on the ground there as well as throughout the diaspora. 800-222-9739. You allow us to do this work. Or WPFWFM.org, $600 to go. We know you're hurting. This is day number 22 of our government's shutdown, and WPFW is here with you. We are beside you. We are lifting that up. We're making sure that we do this work and we see you. That's also why we say if you can give $10 a month right now, if you can give $5 a month, $30 a month, if you can give $5, period, we appreciate it all. But we need you to get us started, and we need to exceed the goal today of $600. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. And what we see happening here with the shutdown is exactly linked to the Congo. And you hear Denise and Bibi talking about that. You'll hear that link throughout the day. So please stand in solidarity with that which supports you.
Thank you, Katia. Bibi, we have just a few minutes left, probably about two or three. But one of the things that, you know, sort of to wrap up this really such an important conversation. When we talk about, and certainly in no way trying to make comparisons, but when we talk about specifically the violations of women and girls in the Congo, what are some of the things that, you know, as a community here, and particularly as, you know, women here, when we, because we're always talking about, protecting women and being able to understand what, you know, our plight is and the issues relative to gender, and gender protection. What is one of the appeals that you would like to make to our listeners about why we should care about this specifically? About this issue of the safety and well-being of Congolese women and girls.
So I work, like I said, I'm a research analyst. I work in maternal health.
Yes.
And I get to see firsthand the disparity that African American women experience in this country's,
yes.
How they are seven times more affected by maternal mortality, mm-hmm. How they experience more maternal morbidity. And it's by design, it's by community, it's out of the system. And people say there's flaws in the system, or say, no, the system is functioning how it was meant to function.
Absolutely.
Because they want to oppress our communities, but they don't want us to thrive. Everything is by design. Everything is working, mm-hmm. as is meant. This is a system that was built for slavery. Mm-hmm. A system, a constitution that has not changed, right? Because they want to maintain and oppress the people. So with that in mind, right, this is what I do Monday to Friday.
Yes.
And I think it's the same thing that they have replicated in the communities in Africa, where you have the women that are constantly oppressed, that are constantly being treated as second class citizen, even though they are the backbones of their communities. They are constantly paying the prices of the fighting. They, yes. are keeping their families together. So I think there's a deep connections from the women in our communities there, and yes. the women in Congo. And I think the only difference is that the women in Congo don't have a platform. They don't have a voice, mm-hmm. to advocate for themselves, to speak for themselves, to fight for themselves. And then I think that's where we come in, because we can relate to their suffering. We can relate to their experience from what, you know, our community's experience here.
Yes.
So when we're advocating for women in the U.S. and how they're impacted by decisions that are being made in the community, whether it's maternal health, whether it's how they access housing or healthcare, it's important to also mention that they are also engineering these methods, these same mechanism for women's in Congo, mm-hmm. and other parts of the world, mm-hmm. we are connected that way. And I think that is why it's important for us to also keep a little space for them when we're doing our advocacy and speaking about it.
Bibi and Dala of Friends of the Congo, thank you so much that, you know, telling us and showing us that thread, that connection, those parallels. I so appreciate your time this morning. WPFW family, we've come to the close of another show and mighty episode. Thank you to Bibi and Dala, again, Friends of the Congo. Thank you to executive producer Ms. Verna Avery Brown. This program is engineered by Mr. Michael Nasella. I'm Denise Young. And again, thank you for having me. We will have, soon after this show, Wake Up and Stay Woke with Dr. Ife Williams, guests Annie Modi and Jessica Kanyan and Gabi. Women, Peace, and Security is a topic. And then after that, We the People with David Whetstone, journalist Akimali Chochima, on historical and present day colonization. You have been a wonderful, wonderful audience. Bibi, you've been a wonderful guest. And as we close, you're absolutely welcome. Thank you. We so appreciate you coming. And as we close, just want to, you know, again, come back to our WPFW family of our audience of listeners, of justice fighters. We need your support. We absolutely need your support. We cannot do this work without you. We do this work in partnership with you. You are a partner. You are an owner, a co-owner of this media movement, this commitment and conviction to tell the truth. And so we appreciate you. Thank you again.